Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. At the beginning of the 19th century, there were millions of bison reported in North America, but by the end of the century, there were only an estimated few hundred left. South Dakota rancher James Scotty Philip bought a small herd and raised them on his land in Stanley County, and by the time of his death, his herd had grown to about 1,000, earning him the nickname the Buffalo King, as well as a reputation as the man who saved the buffalo. Denver-based filmmaker and South Dakota native Justin Kaler tells the story of Scotty Philip in the documentary The Buffalo King. It airs this evening on SDPB-TV at 8 Central, 7 Mountain. Justin Kaler joins us on the line. And Justin, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Carl. I appreciate it.
Well, we last spoke in February during an early screening in Pierre. Where has the film been shown since then?
Well, since then, it's had quite a ride. You know, we've had everything from film festivals to private screenings, and that ranges from, you know, festivals in South Dakota. We won Best Documentary Feature at the South Dakota Film Festival. We played out in California. So we've made a great trip around the country with the film out here in Colorado. In Denver, we had a showing at a film festival. And then, of course, a lot of the bison industry, which is a huge compliment, I feel, for the film that we had two different bison organizations for their annual meetings ask us to come and speak and show the film, and it was great. So it's been quite the whirlwind since we last talked. It's been a blast.
You mentioned the bison organizations. What's been the general reaction of people to the film who've seen it?
You know, the reaction has probably been one of the most shocking things to this. Maybe it's because I've seen it, you know, 1,000 times in the edit room and all the changes we do. I'm probably numb to it at this point. But it's, you know, it's amazing. Every showing we've had, I've had people come up, and I'm talking grown men, women, they come up and they've got tears in their eyes, or they say, I cried at this point in the film. And so to be able to move people emotionally is great, especially for someone that takes so much pride in their storytelling. I guess it's not great to make people cry, but it makes you feel good when they come up and you know it's touched them. And then, of course, the things that they can learn from Scotty's life and his trials and tribulations. So the response has been fantastic.
Has that response been similar, whether here in South Dakota or in California or in Colorado or other places?
It's been the same pretty much everywhere you go. I think people are just, you know, they're unaware. I mean, I was guilty of that, as I mentioned once before. I didn't know who Scotty Philip was or his life and his adventures and struggles along the way. So having this unknown character that did such a great thing for, you know, an American icon and the American bison, I think people get, you know, we build to something in the film. And that's a lot of things people say. It's like, man, this film really, you could just feel it building. And I think once they get hooked in his life and how he got to where he finally ended up, it's moving. And I think everybody can understand that. You know, he could have given up many times, and he just kept pushing forward, much like the bison.
Now, if I recall correctly, Justin, you grew up near the town named after Scotty Philip?
Yes, I'm a graduate from Midland High School. And then as I was waiting, I heard a commercial for Black Hill State. I'm a graduate of Black Hill State also. So, yeah, my family's ranch is about 20 minutes from Philip. And as I said, I had no idea who Scotty was, and I looked at that as kind of an embarrassment to myself. And I'm like, well, I may not be the only one out there, and it's a great story, so let's try to tell it. And going back to the response, it's just been great. I'm glad people have really, you know, have really appreciated the story we told, both in South Dakota and outside of it.
Now, when you started working on The Buffalo King, did you know what the documentary would look like when you were done? When I say look like, I mean the way the narrative was structured, or did things start to come together after you started the actual filming and doing the interviews for the documentary?
That's a great question, Carl. I was just having that conversation with somebody the other day that was doing just a feature narrative film, and they're like, documentaries are hard because you don't have a script, and you don't know what people are going to say. So you've got to go out and find these really great interviews, which we were lucky to have, you know, with family members, Lonis and John Duffy and all those people were fantastic. So you don't know how they're going to interpret the story. Once again, it's not like a script in a big budget movie or something like that you can follow. You have to be able to, you know, lead people to get the answers you want, and you hope that they deliver the answers. And then once you get back into the editing room, it's a matter of finding those great sound bites and start putting together, as we said, talking heads. It's just, you know, 60 minutes of talking heads, which is pretty boring. And then once you feel like you have a strong story, you can start implementing, you know, the really interesting things like Scotty's letters or some of the twists that we put in. I don't want to reveal too much, just some people haven't seen it. But we put a few fun twists in it, and that comes once you start getting that base story put together.
What seems like that's sort of the scary thing about putting a documentary together, not knowing how exactly what the final product will be like. But at the same time, that would be almost exciting because you're venturing off into the unknown.
No, it is, exactly, and that kind of feeds to my personality, I guess. I like that challenge. And you knew, I mean, when I was researching Scotty, I mean, the stories, his life, his funeral, there was all these things that every storyteller or writer dreams about having. So I knew I had the bones of the structure to be able to put something together. And that's what you need. You've got to, you know, I look through a whole lot of stories in South Dakota as I move forward beyond the Buffalo King, trying to find great stories, but you've got to have a really dynamic personality or a very interesting story to a person's life. And once you have that, you can pretty much get everything else to fall into place. But yeah, it's a scary journey, I'm not going to lie.
Now, you meant looking in South Dakota for other great stories. I understand you're preparing work for a documentary on state rodeo legend Casey Tibbs.
Yeah, talk about a flamboyant character right there, Casey Tibbs. Yeah, we are really excited to move on to our next South Dakota story, and we're thrilled that it's Casey Tibbs. The title of the film is Floating Horses, The Life of Casey Tibbs. And I've been doing research for the past, 3 months, 4 months, really diving into books and making phone calls. We've already have an incredible lineup of people that want to talk about Casey. We have music legend Charlie Daniels on board to talk. He was friends with Casey, and he also donated a signed fiddle to our fundraiser, which will take place this coming Saturday, December 14th, at the Casey Tibbs Rodeo Center in Fort Pierce. So we're going to raffle off tickets for someone not only to win that, but also help contribute to get that story told. So it's great, you know, and I already know what I'm going to do after Casey. That's what's exciting too, is I've got a list of fantastic South Dakota stories that I want to continue to tell.
Why do you want to tell the South Dakota stories?
Well, growing up in South Dakota, you know, I was born and raised there on a ranch, grew up in a small town, went to college there. And I moved to Denver and worked. I've been working for a couple production companies out here since I've been here for probably 7-8 years, and just learning the trade. I had great mentors, and I wanted to start branching off to tell my own stories. And the Buffalo King kind of fell on my lap, but I initially went out and shot a documentary film with a ranching family, the Kirkpatrick family, outside of a pier in Fort Pierre, and I spent a week with them while they were doing the peak of their calving season. And the word got out about that, and that's how I got the phone call about the Buffalo King. So it was just taking that initial step, which is also a scary step in itself, to just get out there and start telling my own stories. And I just want to give back to the state. The state's been so great to me, and there's so many rich stories there. And nobody's really telling them. So, you know what? I'm going to jump on them because people seem to be interested in them.
Do you think your experiences with the Buffalo King will now help you as you start work on the Casey Tibbs documentary?
Definitely, Carl. I mean, that's why I went out there on that limb, hoping the branch wouldn't break. And because I'm comfortable enough saying, like, who am I? Who am I if I approach you, you know, can you donate to a film? Well, what have you done? And that's where the Buffalo King comes into play now. I went out and we made a great film that's had a lot of success. You know, of course, South Dakota Broadcasting has picked us up while we're doing this, and we've also been picked up to be, distributed throughout the U.S. in all 50 states. So the success is there, and we can prove that we're able to tell a great story, and that's what I really wanted. I wanted people to be able to, like, okay, I've seen what you've done. Great job. Now let's get Casey, and let's take that next step on Casey Tibbs' film and even build on that success. So you've got to have, to me, I needed that proof, I guess proof of purchase almost, to show people what I'm capable of.
So does that make fundraising for new documentaries any easier, or is that just always always one of the big, big challenges of being a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah, fundraising is always a challenge. It's finding, you know, creative ways to get people involved. And you got to go out, and I've had to do the legwork, as I mentioned, and get all these great names like Charlie Daniels. I mean, Charlie and his manager, David Corlew, they were kind enough to mail out that signed fiddle. But I was able to say, hey, you know, this is what we did with the Buffalo King. They looked at it, they liked it, and there's that trust built already. And we have other names. We've got Lee Jeans on board. We've got Dean Smith, one of the greatest stuntmen in history. And many, many more. John Duffy's coming back on board. He wrote his thesis on Casey Tibbs in college, and we have another Casey Tibbs historian down in Oklahoma. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on of the people we have, but that's what it takes. It's I want to show people this is who is committed to the film. And if you can donate $10, $20, $50, whatever you can, we're going to start pursuing it, and we're going to take it on full steam and hopefully produce a great story.
And again, there's the fundraiser at the Casey Tibbs Museum. What was that, Saturday?
Yes, yeah, Saturday, December 14th. So we'll be there. We hope to come rolling in, weather permitting. we hope to be there Friday. And, of course, all the festivities start on Saturday, and we'll be there all day Saturday. If you have questions, where's the money going to go? What are our plans and things like that? I'll do my best to answer everything for you.